The fifth habit is friendship. When you hear me say friendship, you think, now wait a minute. Friendship isn't a habit. Friendship just happens. Well, I want to suggest to you that that's one of the reasons we get into so much trouble, because we just let friendship happen. I want to argue this morning that we need to think of friendship as a habit. In other words, that we need to do the same things that we had to do for the other habits. You have to set aside time, and you have to go to the trouble to make it work. I want us to apply those same two principles to friendships. When we get into trouble is when we just kind of go through life and see who we wind up being around and what happens and who, you know, however we wind up hanging out with folks. That's when we get into trouble. Instead, I want us to begin to think of friendship as a habit, that I need to be the right kind of friend. I need to develop the habit of being the right kind of friend, and I need to develop the habit of having the right kind of friends. For example, let me show you the story in 2 Samuel. I know your worship folder said we would be in John 15. We're going to wind up there at the end. We're not going to start there. We're going to start in 2 Samuel. If you have your Bible with you, look at 2 Samuel chapter 13. I want to introduce you to a fellow that has a lot to teach us about friendship. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, let's begin at verse 1. As you look for that, let me just share with you that friendship is one of those habits that we need to develop, because when we have the wrong friends, we're putting the brakes on our spiritual growth. But when we have the right friends, those folks can help accelerate our spiritual growth. So you want to develop that habit. The Bible has a lot of examples of friends: David and Jonathan, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy. But not every friend in the Bible was the kind of friend that you want to have. Let me show you. 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. Now it was after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, have you already caught on to the problem? It's a little bit confusing because David had more than one wife. With one wife, he had a son named Absalom. With a different wife, he had a son named Amnon. Now, with the wife that he had a son named Absalom, he also had a daughter named Tamar, Absalom's full sister. Amnon would be half-brother to Absalom and Tamar. So he is half-brother. And it says in the end of that verse that he loved her. Now what we find out is, as we go through the story, we find out that that wasn't a real kind of love. It's the introduction to the story, so we get it from his point of view. But very soon we learn that he didn't really love her. He was infatuated with her. What he felt for her was more like lust than it was love. Verse 2. And Amnon was so frustrated because his sister Tamar that he made himself ill, for she was a virgin, and it seemed hard to Amnon to do anything to her. I always hate the way that the wording there. I hate it, because do you hear the objectification, if that's even a word, how he objectifies her? It says that he could not do anything to her. Doesn't even say with her. But he couldn't do anything to her. You see, as a princess virgin, she stayed in a room separate from all males, even her brothers. She stayed in a room that was different from all the rest of the people. And so he couldn't get to her. He couldn't spend time with her. And here he has this obsession that has taken him to the point of physical illness because he can't have what he wants. Verse 3. Look real carefully. Verse 3. But Amnon had a friend. There is the problem. Now, if you have some versions of the NIV, although it's confusing because some use the word friend, but some versions of the NIV use the word advisor. That is not the best translation of the Hebrew word. However, it does speak to the role of this friend, hence the problem. But Amnon had a friend. And this friend, his name, according to verse 3, whose name was Jonadab, and the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man. It goes on in verse 4, 5, 6, through the rest of the first half of this chapter, to tell us how Amnon's friend advised him how he could go about getting what he wanted from his half-sister. He gave him bad advice, and it was that bad advice that led to incest, rape, and it led to, ultimately, Amnon's death because his brother put him to death for what he had done to Tamar. You see, the problem was Amnon had a friend. You say, well, friends are good. It's good to have friends. No, it's good to have good friends. It's good to have the right friend. But this is a dangerous five words. These are the scariest five words in Scripture in this chapter. In the book of 2 Samuel. Scariest five verses, five words in 2 Samuel. But Amnon had a friend. The reason they scare me is because they remind me that just because I like to hang out with somebody, or just because we have desks next to each other in school, or just because we live next door to each other, doesn't necessarily mean that that is the person to whom I should give influence and from whom I should receive influence. But Amnon had a friend. That ought to make us wonder, what kind of friend? How do we make sure that we are surrounded by the kinds of friends, the kind of advisor, if we use that word from some of the NIVs? How do we make sure that we have advisors around us that will help us grow spiritually instead of put on the brakes of our spiritual growth? Proverbs 18 at verse 24 speaks to us loudly about this issue. Proverbs 18 at verse 24 says this: a man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You wind up with just taking anybody as your friend. Anybody can be my friend. I'm friends with everybody. That's great. That's fine. But who are the close friends? Those in the position of advisor. Let me see if I can help you understand what I'm getting at. If we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was a friend to everybody. He was everybody's friend. He loved everyone. And so it's great to have many friends, yes. Jesus interacted with the multitudes. One time he had over 5,000 people over for lunch. He had many friends. He interacted with multitudes. But if you look carefully at the stories in the Gospels, you catch on that out of those multitudes, he had about 70 that actually followed him. He had around 70 followers with whom he spent extra time, with whom he shared extra truth. And then if you look at that 70, you'll notice that he had really 12 in his closest friends. The Bible says that when he spoke to the multitudes, he spoke to them in parables. But when he spoke to his disciples, he explained the parables and spoke to them the mysteries of God. They were his closest friends. But then if you look at the 12, you'll notice that even within the 12, there are three that form his inner circle: Peter, James, and John. Those are his closest, best trusted friends. Those are the ones with whom he poured out his soul. It was to those three that he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and allowed his humanity to be opened so that they might see his glory. It was those three that he took deepest into the garden when he needed to kneel and pray and beg, God, take this cup from me. Let this cup pass from me. It was those three that he said, y'all go with me and hang in there with me. I need you. I depend on you. I trust in you. And if you wanted to go even farther within that small group of three, the closest friends that he had, we might even be able to argue that of those three, there was the one best friend, the disciple whom Jesus loved, his best friend, John. You see, that's the way healthy friendships work. We don't trust someone just because they're fun to hang out with. Remember, Amnon had a friend. Instead, we develop the habit of carefully developing friendships, healthy friendships with those people who will accelerate our spiritual growth. What that means is you need to have lost friends who are in the group of acquaintances, who are in your realm, who are in your influence. You need to have lost friends, but the people with whom you spend most of your time, that you put all of your trust in, those close inner circle friends, the three or even the one, that person needs to be a believer who is growing in Christ, who is helping you to grow in Christ as well. That takes a habit of developing that kind of life, that kind of friendship. Well, how do we do that? Very quickly, let me show you what it takes to develop those kind of friendships. Number one, I make friends by being a friend. You remember the old poem I learned, everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten? Well, almost everything I need to know I learned from Mrs. Adams. At that time, her name was Ms. Robinson. But I remember Mrs. Adams told us, the reason you don't have any friends is because you're not being a friend. The way to have friends is to be one. Ralph Waldo Emerson said it before she did. Believe it or not, I would be shocked to find out that she didn't know everything first, because she was brilliant. But Ralph Waldo Emerson knew it before she did. He's the one who said the only way to have a friend is to be one. And so in 1 John chapter 3 at verse 8, we're told, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. If you want to have the right kind of friends, the godly friends, not the kind of friend that someone would say, but John had a friend. You want to have the right kind of friends, the godly friends, the friends that are helping you to accelerate in your spiritual growth. The way to do that is to be that kind of friend to those around you. That's how that friendship develops. That's where it begins. See, the problem is, too often we look for people who will listen to us and who will accept us, who will be there for us. Instead, we need to spend more time and energy trying to do all of those things for others. When we do that, we wind up being the kind of friend that attracts the kind of friend that we need to have. So make friends by being friends. And then I'd say to you, the second thing that we can do in order to develop this kind of friendship, the habit of healthy friendships, is I enjoy life together with my friends. I'm not suggesting today that you need to have the kind of godly friend who the two of you get together and you sing Kumbaya every time, and you know, you sit and you read the you read Leviticus backwards, back and forth, just to make sure that you're spiritual. Spend time. Enjoy life. Once you develop the right kind of friendships with the right kind of people, then part of the plan is to enjoy the life that you have together. Ecclesiastes 3 is the context here, is talking about how we cannot fully comprehend all that God is and all that He does. He does everything from throughout the universe, throughout eternity. We can't comprehend all of that. But within that context, it says He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. In other words, the wisdom author says to us, we can't fully understand all that God is and all that He does. We can't get all of that. What we can get is the short time that we have here on this earth, we can make the most of it. And so, find those friends. Be that friend that will find those friends with whom you can share meaningful life and have fun together. And then thirdly, I carry the burdens of my friends. That's how we will develop the kinds of friendships that we need to have. I make friends by being a friend. I enjoy life with them, and I carry the burdens of my friends. Did you hear the words that we sang not long ago? We are pilgrims on a journey. We're together on this road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I carry the burdens of my friends. If you ever have to go through a difficult time, you know how important it is to have close friends. Proverbs 27 says, "Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family. Do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes. You're better having a neighbor nearby than a relative far away." Now, it's not saying don't go to your family when bad things happen. The point is, family lives away. You need people close. You need friends who are near you, right by you, that can help you when times get tough. Don't isolate yourself from friendships. Don't separate yourself so that when bad things happen, there's nobody there to help you. Ecclesiastes 4 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." They're just not friendly people, so they don't have any friends to help them. Or they've isolated themselves. They've caused themselves to be separate and alone, so there's nobody there to help them. Don't be in that position, and don't allow your friends to wind up in that position. We are there for one another as we carry one another's burdens. I need friends I can depend on when my burden is heavy, and I need to be the kind of friend that others can depend on when their burdens are heavy. That's the kind of friend that Jesus was. Jesus was that kind of friend. The night before He died, He gathered with all His disciples. He got them together so that He could tell them the most important things that He wanted them to remember before He died. He wanted to share with them the most important things that they needed to know before He left them and went to sit at the right hand of the Father. And it was in that ultimate conversation that He said in John chapter 15, He said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Now, I know that we use that verse from time to time to describe the military or describe first responders, and really that's okay because we understand the principle there. But don't ever forget the context of that verse. The context is Jesus is talking about Himself. The night before He died, He said, "I'm about to show you guys what real love looks like. Real love is when I lay down my life for you. Real love is what's about to happen when I make it to Calvary. Real love is sacrificing self for someone else.